the show, guys. I definitely didn't forget to push the record button for everybody that's watching. that's okay. I'm good for a while if you guys are still good. I got plenty of jungle juice. So we don't have to reiterate everything, but I'm definitely going to want to go over some of the stuff that we went over. I fucked up, so you know. Pretty fucking bad. Pretty bad. It is what it is. But anyway, we'll do the introductions again. Go ahead, Aether. Go ahead, Aether, and introduce yourself. It is recording now.
Hello, everybody. I promise. Hello, everybody. My name is Aether. I am the CEO of a game studio called Vertex Studios. We are making an open-world RPG game fully in Unity using super good technologies that you guys can soon play later this year. Oh, he's rugging.
What the fuck's wrong with your tracking?
I'll fix my shit. That's because I'm sitting down in a chair. My pants are going over. And you, Mr. I'm going to come on your show. Fucking bullied his way on here.
Yeah, all right. No, I'm not trying to take your show over, but look.
I got your back, all right? Anyway,
my name is Mandrew here. I'm a certified photographer here for cars and that law. Just your want-to-go-out person. Just going out adventures and certainly non-alcoholic. No.
Non-alcoholic?
Yeah.
I feel like you're lying.
No, Well, I used to do cocktails back in the day. I used to be a bartender for about 5 years. Yeah, definitely not an alcoholic.
Okay.
Yeah, right. I used to make a few cocktails myself.
It's got me
fun
a bar
job,
book.
To be honest, but I was
got me
cold.
A bar book back here.
I know.
I make wine for dummies 101.
How to make alcohol for dummies. Step one, pour it in the glass. Step two, fall down the stairs.
So tell us a little bit about your game. I know I said I know that we talked about it in quite a bit of length, but
it's okay. He remembers it.
Okay, so before we go into the very beginning of it, what didn't you say that you've taken a significant step into working on your game? As far as getting, what was it? A company in was it a company in France or something? I remember you telling me about it.
Yeah.
What happened
with
that?
So back then, we didn't go through with it. The double taxation we were gonna face, it was gonna be greater than our annual income was gonna be. So it was like, we're not doing it.
So okay. So
we completely ditched that company.
Okay, so they were trying to tax you both at a French rate and the U.S. rate. Is what you're saying.
Right.
Okay. Yes. Okay. And that just wouldn't be profitable. No, like, fuck it all, right?
Right.
Damn.
They also wanted an office in France for us to hire at least 10% of our workforce. But that wouldn't happen if that's not going to happen. Because depending on how much money they invest, it may not even happen. Because if it's less than 100 grand or even less than $1 million, we cannot hire anybody in France to be 10% of our workforce, because we need money to operate not only in France, but also need money in the U.S. And then when it comes to doing taxes, we're gonna owe taxes to the U.S. government, we're gonna owe taxes to the French government. That there goes like 80% of our fucking revenue.
Yeah,
we're only left with like 20%. Like, that's not gonna be worth it. So I currently have my 3D director currently still in France, talking to some Europe people in other places to see if we can get funding. But the funding has to be done in the U.S. We cannot go international because the cost is too high.
So have you been getting funding for your game and for your project and everything?
Yeah, so we have our funding sources be mainly from Patreon and Ko-fi. But as of last year, I started a new side project for the company called Vertex on Spotify. I make tracks, I upload them, and then from there we kind of get royalties from what people listen to, and that's been kind of like funding ours a little bread and butter a little bit more.
That's actually that's
once
actually
we fully
cool.
Yeah. So once we fully get into full gear with music production for our Spotify, that music talent can be carried over from Spotify and be directly implemented into the game. So content-wise, story-wise, we can fully orchestrate how we want to present things, how we want it to sound. We're going to have the pre-experience of making tracks to now making tracks for a fucking video game. And combining the two, we can leverage one and the other and vice versa. Take our knowledge from orchestra compositing in FMOD, for example. Use that same knowledge and put it into our DAWs like FL Studio, Studio One, and Cableton, stuff like that. We can now leverage Dolby Atmos or Apple Spatial Audio for those nerds. And we can make double, about 10% more money if we were to upload it as Spatial Audio for Apple. We get a bigger kickback, 10%. Even if people don't listen to it, Apple will still pay us for uploading that track to their platforms. So, with Spotify and Apple Music, right now we're only averaging like around $34 per different distributor, but it really just depends on what people feel, what the year is, what month it is. So it fluctuates. It's not guaranteed always, but it's something. And this year, well, legit today, I got some new audio hardware, like analog equipment, I can finally use and actually properly mix stuff and fully compensate for things I didn't do before, like turning the knobs, making sure we don't overcompress something, fully utilize this analog equipment to really push the bounds of creativity and workflow improvement. So later this year, our big bread and butter is going to be streaming. And that's going to fund a majority of FurTech going forward, which is our plan. Okay. And it's been going into effect as of 2 months ago. And we're seeing a great ROI return on our investment.
Wow.
Because okay. I can't get investors. Fuck investors. We're going to do things our way and fully fund ourselves from the community for free.
Yeah.
Like, we're not paying. We're not. Like, if you have Spotify Premium, okay. You're kind of a little bit helping us a little bit more and with Apple Music and all that. That's going to help us a lot because all you're doing is just listening to our music and that supports us long term because once you're like, if investors want to pull out, okay, they can do it. We're still going to be financially stable because we have streaming to really help us back up our company.
So with the game, are you going to have avatars in the game that are just ones that you've made or are people going to be able to upload their own avatar?
So people are going to be able to upload their own avatar using a SDK. So we're thinking, like, you just upload, like, your base mesh, for example, your Rex, to a website. It would do all the conversions in ahead of time. And then after that, you can add, like, custom clothing, all of that. And then once it's ready, it packages it up, sends it to our server, and then from there, you log into your account, play as your character, and have fun. Only like a 3-step process. We're gonna try making everything like as frictionless as possible.
So, because you at the end of the day, your own, you get to have your own character in your game. That's pretty fucking
just
cool.
Just like VR chat.
It's fucking awesome. I think that's actually the biggest thing that that needs to be implemented in games now is that you can move your character from one game to another. Which the game that comes to mind with that is was it Bone Labs? I think is the
Bone Labs.
Yeah, where I was like, dude, if you could just always be the character that you want to be in virtual reality, I think that's like the next big thing, right? Getting to keep the same character but go through an entire game with you, right? With you. And yeah. I was like, oh, dude, being able to jump from game to game and as the same fucking character, it's like you are actually getting involved in the story. It's fucking, like, I think that was just like the coolest fucking thing. And the fact that you're going to do that.
There's a plot twist.
Yeah, go ahead.
There's a plot twist. Our avatar system is going to carry over. So not many people know this, but we have two versions of our game.
Okay.
We have the toony graphics and the ultra realism that matches Unreal Engine. So you can switch between both of them in the same game. So like you only have to download the game once. You can switch between toony graphics or high ray tracing graphics. No other Unity game does that. And we have built it the technology for that, which I can show you after the stream, and I'll post it on TikTok so people can see. Built-in rendering, which is what we use right now in VRChat.
Mm-hmm.
Universal rendering, which is called URP, which is what my game uses. HDRP for the high realistic graphics to match Unreal. Switch between that with no issue.
Wow. Wow.
I'm calling VRChat out from that as well. They need to set their shit up. I'm a one-person developer.
Go ahead and describe it again to people now that I'm recording. Go ahead and describe that to people.
So I'm going to drop a bombshell for you since he didn't record.
I know.
I'm going to drop a bombshell. So for our game, just to let you guys know, for 3 years, I've been programming this game myself. Nobody has done this. I had one other person join me last year, but I kind of fired him after. They basically contacted.
Fuck out of here.
They basically staged us as a bad company, and they called me out. I'm like, you're going to really stage something that never happened to a fucking Microsoft employee that runs the head of fucking Xbox division? Like, you're really going to be that petty? Only because I didn't collaborate with him. That was the only reason why he did that. And I was like, okay, you're fired. Like, at this point, I keep the source code because you decided to fuck me over. You have no more rights over the code anymore. So, I kept the code. I fucking read it top down. 5,000 lines of code. Fixed it. Now, we're the new point of Unity 6, which was perfect. It was still going to be called Unity 5 if we still had John Riccitiello, the fucking EA CEO, fucking made Unity a mess. But now that Unity's back on track with the new CEO, it's hopeful. Unity's going to be a good, great engine. And I'm hoping with Vertec, we make enough money to where I can buy shares within Unity to really fully direct the company to where it's game focused, customer focus, and not for revenue. Like, revenue is great, you need it, but when you have the customer in mind, they're going to be sticking to you for a long while. We want to do that, but that's going to be a future goal for us, and that's one thing I'm going to be pioneering a lot for Unity, is really guide them. Like, we're using your engine to create something that has never existed before. VRChat has created it, but it sucks.
So
their implementation sucks.
Okay, and how are you going to call out VRChat, the creators of VRChat?
We're going to showcase the first thing for our VR game that also is going to be added to our game. We're now called Empty Extinction. We're going to have another game called whatever. I was thinking of calling it Better VR, but it's probably going to be renamed to something other than that. But our version combines new technology made by Unity, which was probably introduced in 2019, 2018, I don't remember. Called Unity Dots, which is basically data-oriented programming instead of object-oriented programming. With data-oriented programming, we can fully utilize all your computer cores, all your CPU cores, to fully make the game run better than what it is previously.
Okay.
And thanks to Unity's efforts and investments to create this, we can now create things that were never possible. For example, you load up my game for the first time, the game will run the stress test. It will spawn over 10,000 of your avatars fully running on 8K textures while only using 2 gigs of video memory and only 15% of your CPU and roughly around 2 to 3 gigs of RAM. These clones fully are autonomous, so they're pretty self-aware of what's going on. They can drive, they can see traffic patterns, make decisions, all of that, and really fully be AI.
Oh, I was going to say, is it using artificial intelligence to do this?
No.
No, okay. No. So it's just part of the programming.
Think of it like a node graph.
Okay.
The conditions have to be met. So it's a pre-programmed logic. But okay. I'll get into this later. Okay. With this new technology that Unity created called Dots, we can now spawn more than 10,000 of different characters, clones of you, to say, and fully achieve way above 165 FPS, while having all the characters be fully animated, fully rigged, emissions, global illumination, ray tracing, it's no longer an issue.
Wow.
And it's possible thanks to DOTS. And to add on insult to injury to VR chat, they can do it right now. All it takes is just rewriting a little bit of the code, fully utilizing ECS, which is just called DOTS.
Okay, with the code part,
we can make
part,
the same system we have.
With the code part, how do they, what do all do have to change in the code part?
So everybody's avatar currently uses something called game objects.
Okay.
Which is currently referred to as, what the fuck was it called? Object-oriented programming.
Yes.
So OOP, so OP.
Mm-hmm.
And to change that, you have to basically create, it's a very minor script, basically converts that data into DOD, data-oriented okay. programming.
Is it scripts already created, or is it something that they have to create?
No, you have to create it.
Okay.
You have to create it. Once they create the base scripts that we need to basically convert that avatar into DOD, the game engine at that point handles it without intervene. You are going to have a little bit have to intervene on how it loads it, how it sorts it, how it calls for it. It's going to be little niche things you got to do, but it's possible. And VRChat right now, they're not really innovating. Nobody in the VR space is innovating.
Innovative.
But one fucking person, like me, creating a whole fucking new system to handle how avatars load, how game engines should render everything.
So basically what you're saying is that VRChat, the creators of VRChat, the dev team, whatever you want to call them, that they're missing right. a crucial link in their, basically in their management, and that would be R&D, right? Research and development.
Right.
They're missing out on that. They're just kind of just winging it and just honing right. in what they currently have, right? And just adding on to this, right? They're not going, well, instead of just right. staying here, why don't we go over here and then advance right. over here? And then once we find something over here, oh, let's fucking go over here, right? And so they're just staying in this one spot and just adding shit to this one spot, right? They're kind of right. setting up shop in this one spot, is what you're saying.
Right. And what's okay. R&D doesn't take a lot of effort. Like, if I can do it with, like, a budget of $3,000 every year, they have more money than me. They have no excuse to not spend at least half of their money on research and
development. I would say that they do.
Okay, I know what to do now.
I'll go make my own VR chat. No, but if any of you developers... but if any of you developers are here, listen to this, which is a very long shot, because nobody listens to the fucking show. But if you are in here, get a hold of this man and maybe ask him to help you out, or maybe give you a pointer or two, because we're not perfect. Not all of us are perfect. Not all of us know everything. Right.
Oh, no.
And
yeah.
We can absolutely use help from everybody. Right. Everybody's got something that somebody else doesn't know. So it's always good to take in advice from other people, and it's not an ego thing. Like, it shouldn't be an ego thing. It should be a we're in this together, right? We're all trying to see something even better, so why not help one another out, right? But they also have bosses now, so that's also a thing. So it's like they have to answer to somebody. They have investors, so that's also a thing.
And here's another thing that VRChat should really innovate is on the rendering aspect. Rendering is such a big part of VRChat right now. Because once you go to a world with like 50 people, for example, for Ally.
Oh, it's
people
heavy.
Can have unoptimized avatars.
Yeah.
It's very heavy.
It's heavy, yeah.
But I created a system that took less than 3 months. And it's basically like a knockoff version of, a Chinese version of Unreal Engine's Nanite technology. Our technology basically takes the polygons on your avatar, reorganizes it in a DOD programming way, and only renders think of it like a map system. So the farther you're away from the object, the blurrier it gets.
Okay.
We're doing something like that on the mesh. So this basically prevents over-rendering it. So anything you can't see will not be rendered. So anything behind me will be just be like a black void. But if I move, it still renders it.
Okay.
But if as long as the camera's not seeing it, it doesn't render it.
So
and our system basically does that automatically.
So how did you learn how to do all this?
Reading a bunch of research papers. That's legit all it is. That's research and development. Just reading a bunch of research papers. Yeah.
Well, okay. And where did you go to find these research papers?
Google's a free resource.
Google, like Google Scholar. Is that what you're referring to, or
just Google searches?
Just Google searches.
You basically look up any like research paper, for example, lighting systems, mathematical systems, math equations. People make different research papers for different purposes, and it just really depends on what you're looking for. And then from there, these research papers can be like 1,000 pages long. Like, people are so dedicated to that, it's crazy. But once you understand what they're trying to solve, you can use what you learn and make something from the examples they provided and make something new. And that's what I basically did. And our system, which is called the ECR rendering, basically does a geometry analysis on everything, every mesh. So it's kind of, think of it like a little bit of machine learning, a little bit of AI mixed into it. It removes over 60 to 70% of the unnecessary triangles within any asset or even a terrain, saving a bunch of compute power that can be used elsewhere. On top of that, you combine that in a cell-based combining method. So Horizon Zero Dawn does this in their game engine.
Okay.
It kind of groups it into cells and renders those cells in batches. And pulls them, and it renders that only once. You good?
No.
If you're choking, drop on your stomach. Like, do a body slam on the ground on your stomach.
Sorry, I drank something and went down the wrong hole. Something out of the contents.
You're supposed to drink it, not inhale it. So is there
I thought it was oxygen.
Ether, did you read any books on how to do any of this stuff? Or take any courses? I think he's talking to somebody real quick.
What are you saying?
Did you read any books or take any courses on programming or maybe how to learn the actual languages?
So a lot of my knowledge has come from YouTube. YouTube is such a great resource. You have a lot of dedicated people wanting to teach you how to do things. A lot of your knowledge can come from that. Don't go to college. College is such a scam. Right now, it's such a scam. Not even worth it.
Yeah.
There's so much color that.
You're it's a scam. You could have told me that so many years ago.
No, it is now. Years.
It is now.
Another thing I want to mention. Another good thing I want to mention is that a lot of the paid courses, if you know where to look for them, you can find them for free.
Yeah. Yeah.
As sad as that sounds.
So now that you mention that, there's actually a once he's done fucking dying over there,
I'll just mute myself. I'm sorry.
Jesus, I thought you would do that in the first place. Anyway, there is a course from Harvard, and I'll link it in the description. That is a full. I don't want to say it's cybersecurity, but it's something to do with because I'm not a really big programmer guy. I like guns and shit. But it teaches you how the languages work, how to script. It's essentially everything you need to know to get a fucking degree in programming.
Right.
And it's free. It's from Harvard. And I think, and every time I have a friend that says that they want to get into programming, they want to get into, I don't know, cybersecurity or anything related to right. this, I always suggest it to them because it's, again, it's free. You don't need to go to college for it.
Right.
And I mean, essentially you are going to college if you take this online course because it's, it's all pre-recorded shit from Harvard. So they teach you how to do everything and you can get your certificates. You could go do the tests and take the certificates and then get your certificate. Like you learn everything you need to know and then you pay the money wherever it is that you want to go to get the certificate, you just pay the money for the test. And when you pass it, you're, boom, there you go. Done, skis. Right? So there's a lot of resources out there that people in this field that because it doesn't really change. It's the same, right? It's not like an art, right? It's a fucking science, right? It's the same everywhere you go. And there may be different languages, but you can just learn the language. So These resources are really good. Also, there's and I'm not gonna link it, but there's also a something similar, but it's with a naked Swedish lady who teaches you how to code, and so she's like literally naked, just like, here, I'm gonna teach you how to do C++. Teaches you how all that works. So that's something that you guys can look up on your own if you want, if you want to learn how programming right. works. So let me jump over to you. So how long have you been streaming for?
I've been streaming on different platforms. So I first started off streaming on Euro Truck 2. And you did say you played that before.
I did.
Quite a good game, really.
I lost so many hours just driving down single stretches in fucking Belgium. I'm like, wow, the road's the
yeah,
same.
Absolutely. Yeah. I like going from like Spain all the way to the top of Russia and just like doing ridiculous like 10,000-mile journeys because fuck it, you know. I used to stream that game for like 2 years with a company I was with. I don't know what it's called, but we're not together anymore. The company fell apart, but we used to do it, you know. We used to compete with other truck companies, putting in all these hours and miles just to get to the top. We never did because some fucking Chinese company always got on top of us.
Of course.
You know what they're like. They're on the Chinese. Field. Oh, come on, guys. We got to get to the top of that. Oh, we got to get the miles. Come on, guys.
Oh, my God. Trying to one-up everybody.
I know. I used to do that in the company. I used to one-up everyone. I used to do that because I'm unemployed. I'm stuck at home. What do I do? Put the wheel on. Let's go drive. when I wasn't with the company, I'm all alone now on that game. I just drive with the NPCs and they crash into me. I used to like get these mods. There are so many mods for Euro Truck Sim 2. I used to get like a 10,000 horsepower engine, whack that bitch in the truck and just get 200, oh, I almost lagged then, 200 down the road until I crash or like completely destroy my truck. And it's like, it's so fun to do. Yeah, I absolutely love it. That's not the only game I stream. I also stream BeamNG Drive as well, which is phenomenal. I love
that
game.
Unlike
GTA 5, unlike GTA 5, they know how to crash cars. They know how to destroy cars. But I just don't use it for sure. I like to test out things. You know, I like to, you know, combine things together. And I got a friend who... sorry about that. He showed us last night about how he combined three buses together, and he committed a weird sort of vehicle, like, you know, three city buses just combined together, just pile right into the middle of a fucking pole, and it's a great game to stream. But that's not all I also stream. I also used to do IRL stream, so in Mount Edgecombe in my country, the UK, there's a little area where there's a bomb section, where there's like a bomb in the ground, and then the little bunker where the World War II soldiers went on. And Mount Edgecombe, for those who don't know, is an area that used to be very bigger than it was before, but it was half bombed, so they've only got half the house left. But it's really interesting once you go in there and see the history of the house, you know. I used to stream that area and that lot. There's a lot of games that I actually streamed. There was Alien Isolation, which I also streamed as well.
Jesus, quite a nice game.
First time I played that.
Uh-uh.
Yeah, when I first played it. No. When I first played it, I was so scared.
Yeah. Now, I don't want to fucking deal with it. I don't want to fucking mess with it. If I can't kill it, I don't want to fucking be around it. Good.
If you can't kill it, run away. Oh, it's so fucking horrible. I know. I just hated when you were in the core and you went into that area where it flooded. I hated that bit. On nightmare mode, I died about 80 times in that map. It just wouldn't fuck off and leave me alone. The constant path, the same thing. Go up, hiding, run to the door. Oh no, it's a trap. The alien's already there. Dead. Oh, but it's a piece of piss now. I know that game anyway, but yeah, I used to stream all sorts, really, you know. I used to have multiple names, but I mainly stick with just Mandrew, but for some reason I got an extra R after the E, so it's like people get confused at that. But it's great, though. I like it. I used to do streams on TikTok, but I don't do that anymore. I have my main account, but they banned me on that. I was like, okay, cool, fine.
Was I have a secret
account,
or...
a spare account, as you could. Oh, well, apparently cutting up vegetables on live is not really seemed as safe. Yeah, that's what got me banned. Yeah. I know, right?
Cutting up vegetables. What? Are they vegetable advocates now? Like, the fuck? Was it screaming?
I was just trying to cut up peppers, okay? Because with my professional knife, because I used to do all the professional shit back in the day when I was in college. Look, I wasted 7 years in college. Don't judge me. I didn't waste my
culinary expert right there.
I didn't waste much of a career. I know. Yeah,
we have missed the right making it's beer. We have missed the right learning how to cook.
That's right. That's right.
Look, I used to cook though. Funny thing is, I used to have 10 years of professional catering in my belt. So six of that was dedicated to back of house. No, four was the back of house. Six was the front of house. And I absolutely loved cookery, you know, obviously, because it's so fun, like, mixing different foods together, but I'm mainly a front-of-house sort of person. It's great, you know, just, like, going out there, interacting with customers, because that's my strong point, you know. If I could get a paid job as a waiter, I would, but I might abuse the customers, so I don't think that would be a good idea. Yeah.
Okay.
Fucking.
I'm making a I have a sourdough starter, right, so I can make sourdough. So it's yeah, I'm into that, too. I fucking make bread.
Never made sourdough. Yeah. Oh,
it's like
I've never
made
a lot of bread
pet.
In my life. My mum used to make bread.
It's like an edible pet.
Oh, right,
you
I see.
Fucking, you have to feed it flour.
you just make yourself a little a cat-shaped bread. You're like, oh, who's a good pussy?
Oh, my God. It's just fucking bread. Yeah, I looked into starting my own little poultry thing, but I'm like, I don't really have land for it right now. But yeah, I was like, oh, those are edible pets. Edible pets.
Oh no.
Come here, chicken. Come here, Daddy.
If you want...
Daddy's hungry.
If you want edible pets, we got a farm down the road. Yeah, we got a farm down the road with so many edible pets, you won't believe it, you know.
Shit.
God, yeah, I used to work in a crew mill.
Sorry.
No, go ahead. You used to work in a what?
What did you say? Oh, yeah, I used to work in a Krumel farm. I used to be a farmer down in Krumel. I used to work with edible pets. You know, we got the pigs in that lot, which when they get older, you cook them up and stew them and skin them, you know. I used to work with the cows, the horse, the chickens. Fucking cows are a nightmare. You go in one day, clean out their shit, the next day it's all fucking filled again. I was like, how the fuck you shit that much? Fucked.
I mean, well, I got four stomachs, so, yeah, you know. You gotta do something with
it. Yeah, it's like fucking 100 cows on that shit. 100 cows in that 100 square feet housing. Yeah, it was a pain to clean that. That took us about an hour and a half. I did that for about 4 years, so. Quite
Dude,
interesting
hay,
joke, you know.
Yeah, hay, hay fucking sucks. Like, you have to wear long sleeves dealing with hay, or else you just be fucked up.
Oh, yeah,
like,
it gets everywhere. Don't wear wool, though. It will get attached to wool.
Oh, yeah. Now I get like a flannel shirt or something. That's why you always see farmers wearing like flannel shirts and shit, because there's a reason for it. It's not just because they look hardy as fuck. It's because it protects you. same thing with like lumberjacks, yeah, right? So I've been out there. I've cut down trees before, and it's fucking wise to wear long ass sleeves and stay warm if it's fucking cold, but at the same time you also have mosquitoes that are trying to eat your ass, and so you get like flannel shirts and you're sitting out there whack you know, just going to fucking town, or you get a damn chainsaw or whatever. But that's why they wear that stuff. Yeah. It's not really a fashion thing. It's just it's the most durable material that protects you from the elements as well as bugs and, and the fucking trees themselves. So there's a reason for it.
Yeah, because there's this guy on TikTok that does cut down trees. He does it as a job, and he sometimes does it with clothes on.
Oh, you know who
he is.
He's
a handsome individual. He's a handsome man.
I know, right? I know. This man's like, all right, we got this log right here. It's a splinter. We're going to see how she does. Whack. Oh, that's a good bit of wood right there. This is a good axe. I'd recommend it.
He's like, the time I'm just like, this is a chopping axe, and this is a splitting axe. And you're like, there's a difference? It's like, oh, okay. And then there's even a female equivalent, right? There's a female equivalent to him.
No.
And it was fucking funny because I was on Reddit and I saw one of his videos on Reddit for whatever reason. Somebody posted it and they're like, I'm not gay, but yeah. and then someone said on there, it's like, yeah, it's like, we don't want your wife to leave you. And then they're like, oh, don't worry, there's someone for that too. And then they posted the other person in there, and it was a female. It's like, are you trying to make this man's wife leave him for this woman?
Oh,
it's fucking funny.
Oh, no. That's crazy, though, honestly.
I had a question for both of y'all.
What's up?
Oh, no.
Have you ever seen the U.S. Congress with the UFO reports? Do you believe
we have other life forms beyond Earth?
Yeah, so...
Shit, now you get me talking.
So I think so, yes, but I think that probably the majority of the things that are... that we have or see or whatever have always been here. I think that that it's really nothing new. However, the thing that's really interesting is that there are supposedly so many different kinds of crafts that we have, and it really didn't start kicking off until the atom bombs were dropped. And so that's what's really fascinating. Yeah, and what's even more fascinating is, according to I think it's David Grush. Is that how you say his name? Is it Stephen Grush or David Grush? I don't know. I can't remember his name. It's one of the dudes who was on the panel. He was one of the dudes on the panel, like, that was being asked questions. He's an intelligence officer. Someone asked him, "Hey, what is the earliest account that you have with these crafts?" And he stated that, well, the earliest that I can say, because of the stuff for the whistleblower stuff that he's talking about, he goes, the earliest that I can say is the 1930s, before the atom bomb, right? And there was one craft that crashed in the mountains in Italy, and the Italians had gotten the craft, and they didn't know what it was. They actually went over to Germany and said, "Hey, is this your shit?" And they were like, "No, but we'll help you research it." And so David Grush said that he doesn't believe that that's the reason for the Italian-German alliance, but it's definitely a fucking factor into why they were allied. And you remember seeing in the History Channel, maybe. I don't know if you guys have anything like that over there, but they always talked about the German bell, right? A super secret German
about the German bell,
right? A super secret project that the Nazis had been working on during World War II, and it would only make fucking sense that they developed that because of that crash that the Italians had. And apparently the Vatican was sharing the information of where its location was to the United States during the Second World War, so that whenever we came in, we could take it and bring it back to the States so that they didn't have it. So apparently that was a whole thing. Yeah.
Yeah, but speaking about the bell here, you know the Germans used to take away every single bell in their Polish towns, and they did that to make cannibals or something like that. I remember something about that.
Well, that sounds like
a bell in Germans,
a Napoleonic War thing. That sounds like a Napoleonic War thing if you're cannibals.
That was back in the 1950s. Yeah, that was 40s to 50s. I don't know when. I'm not good at history here, but I do have history channels we have in this country. Yeah.
If you're talking about
all the time,
like trying to make like metal, like if all the bells were steel, it would make sense because the Germans were using a fuck ton of steel in order to make armor, right? Tanks and armored vehicles, and because the only 100% mechanized country was the United States. It was like whenever Americans showed up during D-Day to take on the Germans, right? There's accounts of the German troops going, "Oh, we already fucking lost because there are no horses." Like, they use horses. Like, I think it was like 30%. It was either 30 or 40% of the entire German military was mechanized. The rest was fucking horses. Like, nobody has any idea. Like, doesn't understand that. Yeah. Yeah. 30 or 40% of the entire German military was mechanized. They're hoofing it. They're out for the fucking way.
Oh, no.
America was. Oh, shit. America is 100%. What the fuck? There we go. America is 100% mechanized. So we came in and they were like, "Oh fuck no, we can't win this shit." So yeah, that was a fucking thing. That was a thing.
I know. The other thing that also was a thing as well. Sorry to the Americans here, but you remember when they did that practice on the beaches of the UK?
I remember looking into that. I just recently learned about that. And they put their fucking life jackets on backwards and shit, or upside down, and fucking drowning. It was 700 troops. I think it was 700 British and American troops. Yeah. It was a horrific thing.
I don't know what got into them, really. They accidentally moored themselves from a ship. They accidentally let a German U-boat go into their position. I don't know what was going on. They weren't thinking straight. I learned about that in history.
Well, they didn't establish a secure training area is the problem. And that's also a reason why even Winston Churchill said, the thing that scares me the most about this war is the German U-boats.
Yeah.
Because they could be fucking
anywhere. Yeah, I know. I know. They're so quiet and advanced and nuclear as well.
And you know what the crazy part is? They had them in the First World War. That's fucking wild. Yeah. Like, they had U-boats in the First World War. They didn't even have sonar or anything. They're just... Imagine! Like, everything's like... Oh, God. They're using ceramic bottles for fucking everything back in the day, right? And everyone's boots are still, all the way up to their fucking knees. And, dude, in trench warfare, and these motherfuckers are in a tube at the very, like... Right in the middle of the Industrial Revolution, and then these submarines. God, they probably have a fucking lantern down there to see. Like, it's that. Oh God, I couldn't even imagine that, man. Like, that would be the scariest fucking thing, to be in a submarine in World War fucking One.
I know. I mean, what they used in submarines now, they use red light, which is good, better than using average light, because it's better for the eyes. Because I know when you're in a dark place for a long time, you're looking at white light. It's not very good if you, like, go outside suddenly. Red light is better.
Yeah, it kills your night vision. Yeah.
I read about that once on YouTube. Yeah.
Yes. So,
I didn't know about that until like a year ago.
Red light doesn't mess with your night vision. That's why. That's why whenever you look at stuff outside, that's why during the night you always have a red light. That's why hunters always carry a red light whenever they go out to go hunting. That's why the military trains you to use a red light for looking at maps and shit, because because it doesn't travel very far, and that's another reason. And it also doesn't fuck with your night vision. Because if you use a white light, right?
And you're gonna be fucking seeing, aren't you?
like if you're out there in the darkness, your eyes adjust and you can see pretty fucking good. Like if there's enough stars out, dude, you can see everything, right? You can see right in front of you. But the moment you turn on a white light, everything else is fucking black. Like you can't see a damn thing. You're in the darkness now. And it takes 20 minutes.
Yeah.
It takes 20 minutes for your eyes to readjust.
Why on a cruise ship the waters are also black. That's why on a cruise ship it's also black.
Exactly. Like, because you're surrounded by light. Yeah, exactly. You're surrounded by white light and it fucks with your night vision. I couldn't imagine. I still have yet to go on a cruise. I was supposed to go to one last year, but I didn't. I wasn't. My leave got denied.
I was on a cruise 2 years ago. Yeah, it's great. Went from here to Mallorca and back. You know, absolutely phenomenal. Sea life is great. I used to do sea life a lot. You know, going like a fucking yacht and like just be on there for like a day. It's absolutely great. I wasn't seasick at all. I can absolutely go on the water for a while.
I wasn't seasick at all. Great. but yeah, to answer your question, yes, I do believe that there is intelligent life out here, and whether it's multidimensional, whether it's something that's lived here for long before us, or if it's even something even newer, as far as like these guys living here and got something coming from outside of our planet. I think there might be both right now, but I think prior to the atom bombs going off, I think it was a I think that they had already been here for a very long time.
It's very hard to tell, to be honest. We call them extraterrestrial. And they're many light years out, like many, many light years out. We haven't traveled that far. We have sent a rover out, but that bitch is long gone. Like, I don't know if it's still got life in it yet, but it's just whinelessly going around. I mean, we have gone to space for a lot.
I've kind of gone down the rabbit hole on this a little bit. And not with the crazy people, but like people that are actually like you can actually like trust what they fucking say for the most part. This one dude, I can't remember his name. I want to say Green, but that's not right. Anyway, he was a medical doctor that was assigned to this program, like a UFO program essentially, through DOD, I think is what it was. And so he's been to all of these facilities, and the only reason why he's speaking out is because they tried to make him fucking disappear. So he goes, oh, fuck no. So throughout his career, he'd been collecting all the documents that he collected from all of the memos and everything that he was given, official memos from generals and all this other stuff, and that he had collected so that he can use that as like insurance to protect himself, right? Because if he tells everybody about the stuff, they can't make him disappear now, okay? Because if they do, then it establishes that this is true, right? So they're like, we can't do anything about it, right? And he also has more stuff, and he uses that as leverage to make sure that he doesn't fucking die. But anyway, he's so well informed on this stuff, and I'm just like, oh, okay. Well, apparently, he came across this program where there's like this it's basically a military within the CIA. Okay. It's essentially what it is. They're their own entity. And that's where that black budget stuff is going. I don't know if you're always talking to somebody. Okay, so the reason why the CIA can't account for like $10 billion fucking dollars a year is because it's going to these programs, right? They literally have their own Navy, their own Air Force, and their own Army, okay? And it's
just like Samson.
Just like what? Samson?
Just like Samson. Do you not know about Samson? Yeah, they own like military refrigerators, all sorts of stuff. Yeah, they started this back in the 1800s. They started as a Chinese, an Asian fruit selling company, and they later came into this big company that owns, I don't know, everything you see, you know, fucking Abraham's. That's something I also learned as well. It's quite interesting, the fact Apple just owns phones and that's it. Samson, oh, if you name it, we own it.
Oh, wow. Interesting. Yeah. And so have you ever heard of the Sean Ryan show?
No, I've heard of many shows, but not that one.
Okay. So the Sean Ryan show is a podcast. Okay. And it's the fourth most popular podcast out there right now. And the dude is an ex Navy SEAL and CIA contractor. Okay. He never messed with any of that stuff whenever he was in. He didn't know anything about it. He was just a fucking operator, right? But anyway, he had a Marine come on to his podcast that talked about the. You remember the tsunami in the fuck is it, like Singapore? No, yeah, Singapore or some shit. It was back in like 2006.
I've heard of this years ago. I've heard about that. Yeah.
Yeah. So they went over there as a relief. Yeah, they went over there as a relief effort. In the Marine Corps, right, to help people out. Well, and his fire team went over this hill and to see what was on the other side, and they saw this floating, like, triangle thing, like this big ship, right? It was just kind of floating there quietly, and they were like, what the fuck? And so they started going down, and then these fucking dudes pop up in all black. They're fucking honed in on them, and they're like, They were like, okay, they have the drop on us. And they were like, put your fucking weapons down. And then he goes, they had American accents. But these dudes, the way that they operated, the way that they were moving, they had to be special forces of some kind.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, he said that while they were sitting there and they took all their guns and they took their hands and their fingerprints and everything and took pictures of them, there were trucks with what the hell are they called? Like shipping containers on the back of them, but with air conditioning units on them. Okay. And they were loading up into the big pyramid building or the big pyramid ship thing that was just kind of floating around. And they were loading up in there and these like deuce and a halves. And they were like, what's going on? They're like, shut the fuck up. And then eventually they're like, they're talking shit. They're trying to antagonize them so they can, they could probably shoot them or whatever. But they're just like, I don't know what the fuck to do. And then they get their weapons, put them on their back, put the slings like as tight as they fucking could, put the magazines in up on their gear back upside down so that you couldn't load it fast enough before they could drop you, right? They all get... They back up and they all get into the ship and they just left the Marines there. And so they fucking run. They take, hightail it back up the fucking hill. They're like, what the fuck just happened? And the ship takes off like, pew, like that, right? Well, turns out this Marine came across a doctor through the other doctor guy that I just explained. And he goes, I was part of that program, the other guy. And he goes... That wasn't drugs that they were holding because he thought that they were drugs. The Marine did. And he goes, those were people.
Yeah.
In the back of those Connex boxes. Oh. He goes, what? He goes, what? He goes, what they're doing is they go to places where natural disasters are in third world countries to kidnap people because they'll just be written off as killed in these natural disasters so that they can run experiments on them.
Oh shit! Like,
what the fuck?
That's horrible.
Damn.
Yeah, because if they're gone, you'll never find them. And I was like, "What the fuck?" Cool. And that doctor, the one that has been to all these programs, he says that what's happening is they're using people that they take to basically kind of like fuck with their DNA and like. Like, not many of them survive this, apparently, but to make them look all fucked up and they want to try and make an alien threat to the government so that they get more funding for their projects. Yeah. I was like, what the fuck? Of course, that's the rabbit hole. I'm like, Jesus Christ, it makes fucking sense. Yeah. So it's like a whole thing. It makes you wonder because that's probably something that could actually fucking happen, right? You just abduct people from natural disaster areas and nobody would know.
I mean, yeah, nobody, the government's always full of surprises with them and their pile of money.
It's not even that. It's the apparently these guys are operating outside of the fucking law, outside of the government. Like, the government has no fucking idea that they're actually doing this shit. And it's a small amount of people that are operating this stuff. The government has no fucking idea about this. They're just doing this shit because they have the black budget and they operate underneath the defense contractors.
Damn.
So underneath the businesses. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like Skunk Works and fucking Boeing and on all of them are the ones who are doing all this crazy shit because they don't answer to, like, they're like, oh, I don't answer to you. We're a private company. It's like, what the fuck?
Okay.
But yeah. Yeah, it's an interesting thing. So what about you? What do you think? What do you think about the aliens?
I don't know, man. You just never know until you go out there and see what there is. You know, it could be anything out there. We haven't gone out far, you know. We have done moon travel before, but I don't even know if that was real or not. I've got half people saying it was and half saying it wasn't. There are some photos and videos with the flag not even, like, I don't know, moving, or if it's like down or something. I don't know, but it's kind of weird. But I ain't got a clue. There could be extraterrestrial out there. You never know until you go out there.
That makes sense. What about you, Ether?
It was my first time even hearing about this, so it's fun. Pretty wild.
Okay. Yeah. So I highly recommend a Sean Ryan show. It's very interesting because it gets people who are actually involved in these things to explain them, right? I feel like law informed content, like what we're doing right now, is probably one of the most important things that we could do as a society, because you actually hear the full story instead of just a 2-second clip or a 5-second clip or a 30-second clip of something, right? Then you learn the context about everything.
Just
that goes
like
around.
The news.
Yeah. The
news.
Who would have fucking thunk, right, that Joe Rogan would have led the fucking way in everybody going to long form content, right? It's like, who would have thought that? Yeah. So some dude who just likes to fight and likes fighting shit and comedy, that he's just like, oh yeah, I like this, and just have random interesting people come onto the show, and everyone's like, I need to do that. So yeah. I mean, who would have thought that motherfucker would have done that? You know, change how media is consumed. Dude, that's fucking crazy. Actually, let me see something quick. Okay. Well, is there anything else that y'all want to cover while we're here?
No idea, really. You know?
No.
Let's see if anybody has hit you with this.
Hmm?
What made you join the fandom?
Oh, what made me join the fandom?
Oh, that's a good topic.
Oh.
That's a good topic.
Well, I will say this. I have been a furry since I was a kid. Okay. But I haven't been involved in the fandom until like a year and a half ago. About a year and a half ago. Maybe 2 years. But the thing that really made me into a furry was the... what the hell is that? The Robin Hood movie.
Mm-hmm.
Because,
oh, yes.
Yeah, the one with the foxes. Because when I watched that movie, I was like, I'm going to be him. That's literally, like, That's my idol. Oh, what the fuck? Hold on.
I'm going to come back to him in 10 years' time and tell him how much of a grown.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, so that's what really established me becoming a furry. As well as like every single fucking kids movie us growing up was animated animals. Like all of them.
I know.
It's like, what was
that one series where it's just a woman that looked after this fox, that stray fox? What's that one movie called? It was a series from Disney, wasn't
it? Fox and the Hound?
And like, oh, that had the saddest scene in the world on it. Oh no, when she just drove him into the forest and just left him there. She drove off. Bro, I saw that when I was so young and I cried. I was like, pick him up! Don't leave him!
That's what I like. Dude, that's what I like about those old movies, right? They give you emotional stories, right? Emotional stories where you're like, oh, they can't be friends because it's not proper, right? And then you're just like,
yeah, and they built it up as well into the point.
Yeah, it's like my heart.
I know,
but then you have motherfuckers who try to argue against it, like, that's wrong. They're teaching the wrong message. It's like, no, motherfucker. They're teaching the message that this is wrong, but this story needs to be fucking told so that people can understand the concepts around the thing.
Yeah.
So it's like, it has to be this way. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. It's like the fox is the child and the woman is the mother. And once the child grows up, just like that fox, we're all going to move out. And then what we're going to do? We're out in the open unless we're told something. It's told perfectly fine. You look after the child, kick him out, you know, regards of how it is, you know, whether it's nice or kind or horrible.
I don't think we're thinking about the same movie. I'm trying to think of what the fucking movie is that you're referring to. Because I'm talking about The Fox and the Hound.
I don't know
what
it's called, but I...
Which is the one with the dog and the wolf. Or, sorry, the wolf, listen to me. The guy that really hates the dog and the fox. Yes, yes. He goes out to go fox
hunting. They drove a Ford Model A.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, I forgot the same movie. That's something that also got me there. We also got 101 Dalmatians. You know that series?
Oh, my God. Yeah, that was, oh, my God.
That also got me into the fairy fandom. That's such a fucking great movie.
I didn't know you had a crush on her. That's kind of weird, but I mean, you do you, man.
Oh, shit. I should have said that then.
He's into older women. That's an older woman. Like, that's just an old woman.
Hey, listen, all right? The older people are more experienced, all right? Take care of them.
You convince yourself however you see fit. You do you, bro. Yeah. What about you?
Kind of started from my best friend. So I want to get an Oculus back 2 years ago. Bought one. But a VR jet was a emo kid with the avatars, and then we're going.
You were an emo kid.
One day I get on. Yes. 2 years ago.
Oh my God! Did he have that long hair? He's like, yeah, bro, we're gonna hang out. Yeah, we're gonna play a guitar and spray up nails. Kinda. Yeah, get that black on and shit.
Fucking, I really like to hang out with you.
But what really changed it was him being a Rex, a gray Rex. And I was like, ew, furries. But once I got to know what it was, that basically set the entire stage for where I'm at right now.
Yeah.
Being able to be yourself.
Yeah.
Most importantly, your persona represents you. You're able to connect with it and be you. I mean, that's what I liked about the fandom, and here I am making a fucking furry game.
I will say this: that's one thing that that I like about this fandom, right? A lot of people want to know what I do for a living, right? And I don't like divulging it because I want people to know me for me,
right?
I want people to know my personality, you know. I want to be able to tell stories and all this other stuff. I want them people to see me as me, because a lot of times if you tell people like what you do for a living, they just look at you as that thing. Their entire perception of you fucking changes. 180%. You don't get to have your own personality, right? So, yeah, that's why I do the things that I do, and so far, I think it's been extremely phenomenal because, like you said, in this fandom, you get to be you, and you get to represent you in whatever way you want, and people only get to see you as this, right? As this, and I love it. I love it. I love our fandom. I love our people, and I love going to the conventions to see my people, regardless of how weird they can be. They're my people. So,
I love conventions. I'll defend a fandom. You know, like I've been. Absolutely. I will as well. But the pizza incident kind of chucked me off a little. Like, if you know what that is.
What is it?
Then if you know the pizza incident.
I made a joke about that in one of my videos. Yeah. It was like Bury HQ called me and they said something about a pizza and a cheese grater. It's like, the fuck is wrong with you? Like, what the fuck is wrong with you? But yeah, no, It's definitely its own thing, but I do have a friend, and I'm not gonna say his name, but I do have a friend that goes, "What are you talking about? The furry fandom's fantastic. Everyone wears a paper bag over their head, and you're just like bent over." And I was like, "Oh God, stop!"
Oh no!
It doesn't matter. Just bent over. Like the fuck? You're so fucking wrong.
No, we don't just bend over. Right? We take payment. 20 quid is the lowest.
And by the way, for those Americans out there, quid is a currency. Right, I believe it's pounds, right? Is that what you're referring to?
Oh, yeah, we use pounds, quids. Yeah,
it's a currency. You know, they're not throwing squids at people. It's different. It's different, I promise.
Well, it could be. You never know.
That's a Japanese. That's a Japanese, sir. But anyway.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's a good place to stop. And,
I'm glad I haven't told you how I got into furry fandom.
I thought you did. No, go ahead. No, we don't care about you. No.
You're just gonna leave me out, Lyric?
No, go ahead. I actually do want to know.
Fucking shoot, no. I'm
actually
joking.
Do want to know.
I'll try and keep it as short as possible. So, it started with 101 Dalmatians and that film I was telling you about on Disney. That's how it started. But yeah, I was just a kid. I didn't really know much about it. So I just carried on, like, you know, looking at those films. And then it was only like 4 years ago recently when I moved out that I really started to get involved in it because I had IRL furries that I was talking to. And I go to all these conventions, not just the furry conventions. Only been to that one. It was in London. But normal conventions, like there is an Exeter convention where it's like gaming and shit. And I know you only see people dress up in like these Genshai characters, which I don't know what they are, but me and a few other furry friends, which I've known for like 2 odd years, just go in there in our furry costumes and was like, "Wow, furry!" I was like, "Why? I've not seen one before." No. Oh, there you go. it was great. I recently got a partial about a year and 3 months ago called Sugar. Yeah, it's oh, Mike, I'm busy doing a podcast. I'll talk to you later. I got a partial for about it was meant to be 350, but the woman that gave it to me, she's fucked off and left the fandom. She gave it to me for 250. So I was like, cheap. It's a cat partial, but it's all right. It's only about 3 years old. It needs a bit of an update, but yeah, I, you know, bought the partial and I've hanged out with these friends on Telegram. They also got me into the furry fandom. It's people that share the same interest as us, you know. But that's basically my story.
Did have you been to any have you been to any conventions?
The one in London, that's it.
Okay.
Small ones I've been to, Exeter and that lot.
Have you ever thought about going to Euroference?
But I got these small fur meets that I go to. No, I can't. That involves passport. That involves flying out the UK. I can't have a passport. I can't do that. I just do it to legal fair meets, where the folk fairies meet up our last Saturday of each month. Well,
fuck, I'm going to Euroference this year. Fuck.
Oh.
I'm flying across the puddle.
Look, I can't.
And I'm stopping in the UK first. And I'm stopping in the UK first. I'm going to Scotland. I got a friend named One-Legged Bandit I'm going to be hanging out with for a few days prior to and Sly Weekly, if you know who that is.
I have to go to Scotland.
So, we're going to go to, we're going to go to the oldest pub.
Yeah,
there
I live right at the bottom, so it's going to take me a while to get to Scotland. You got to go to that pub that's right in the middle of nowhere. You reach that pub, you get a free beer. That's what I'll let you know there.
Well, I was gonna say we're gonna go to the oldest pub in the UK. I think it's called Ye Old Fighting Cock or something like that. I think is what it's called. I know it's silly name.
No idea.
But anyway, it's the oldest pub in the UK, and Crusaders drink beer there. So I'm like, fuck, I want to go. I want to fucking go to a place where the Crusaders drink beer. Fuck yeah. I was like, yeah.
I want to show them how I make beer.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
I'm going to bring my recipes with me.
I'm going to say I drank a fucking beer with my Scottish and my British friend, right? At a place that the Crusaders drank beer like a man. It's like, that'd be fucking great. that's a fucking life goal of mine. And that's going to happen in September. I'm excited. Yeah. And then after those few days, I'm going over to Hamburg and for Euroference, I'm going to be hanging out with the Nice Wolf quite a bit. And it's going to be
he's great. I've been hanging out with him in VR for a lot. He's a great friend.
Yeah, I had him on my talk show at one point. Actually, I think it was second guest, first or second guest, I can't remember. But first guest. And dude, he's a good friend of mine. He's an amazing dude. But have you been to any furry conventions?
Zero.
No.
Been too busy.
Por qué, señor? Por qué?
Man, you need to live a little.
It's fun. It's fun to do, but whenever you go, you have to. I know he could probably attest to this. If you go to a convention, make sure you bring a little bit extra money whenever you go to the dealer's end, because you're like, I want an artist to make my persona for my stickers. I want my own persona for this. And I want a painting of my persona with that.
Oh, shit.
Commissioning motherfuckers left and right.
You're going to end up plastering your bank account. Your bank account's going to be like 5,000 drained. Like, that's all gone. I know what you mean. Because you end up going there for one thing, and you end up coming out with 50 other things. It's like, the fuck did I just do? Shit, my bank's going to be pissed off at me.
And then you go to the Artist Alley I want to say they just started, but I think they've been doing it for a couple of years, but it's just really big magnified they have art shows now, and you can go in there and bid on the fucking art that's in there. And then they also have like NSFW signs. You see like some crazy shit. And you're like, I would have been on this for $100. And then you're just like waiting. And then you're like, I feel like a creep. Like, you're like, I feel like a creep sitting back here. What? We're like making sure people are bidding on my porn. Like, the fuck?
I want this $100. Don't bid. Everyone's trying to put hands down.
That's on my man cave. Give me that shit.
This is my shit.
But
big titties. Look at them A5s.
No, that ass.
Double D's is all we need.
But I think it's a good place to go ahead and end it for today. I appreciate both of y'all for coming on the show.
Yeah.
Is there any last things that y'all want to say before we bounce?
Nope. I'm good. I'll bounce right now.
Okay. Do y'all have social? Like, do you have any social medias that people can reach out to you?
You can reach me out at FurTech on Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube, which then links to my other socials, so it makes it fairly easy to find me.
Okay. And I'll link your link. Do you have a link tree or anything?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll link that in the description.
FurTech.
And and you?
I need to make a link tree. I don't have a fucking link tree, but just Mandrew, you know. I'm sorry, man. I need to make one, okay? But it's just, I was just about to do that. right, so I do have, mm-hmm. I said about Twitch, there is YouTube, that's dead, there's TikTok, there's Instagram as well, and Twitter, we don't talk about that. And there's, yeah, it's just making Mandrew the Wolf.
Got After Dark yeah. fucking Stop Twitter laughing, over you. There. He's like, I only know a little porn.
Oh, no, oh, okay. Yeah. No, After Dark on Bark is where it gets a bit spicy, okay?
Oh, God.
Yeah.
That's where I met my girlfriend. Bark.
Story of a life. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Okay. All right. I appreciate y'all coming on. And yeah, y'all take care. Bye.